the technology of the mind is just very simple, really. And anyone who has the tools of the technology can take advantage of it. And learning to rest early in life, to rest as awareness, to really find out what the fundamentals of the mind are, and then to rely on that rather than relying on racing thoughts and the elaborate schemes and explanatory models that they create for everything. We either do one thing or the other. We learn to just rely on racing thoughts and emotions and sensations and other experiences, and then elaborate all kinds of conceptual models about those. And that's just more and more thinking. And so to rely on stable awareness that is the basis of all those racing thoughts instead of on the thoughts themselves is the only way to go. And we can only train ourselves in this. No one else can do it to us or for us, because we have whatever thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences we have. They're not the same as anyone else's. And so it's very intimate. It's a true matter of self-intimacy. Not only intimacy with oneself, but the more one has that intimacy with oneself, the more one naturally then has intimacy with everyone else. Because the more one understands one's own thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences, and fundamental awareness as the source of those, the more one sees that it's that way for everyone. It just is that way for everyone. And then that brings about tremendous self-understanding and understanding of others. And, you know, so it is a very simple proposition. Is it going to be the racing thoughts? Or is it going to be stable awareness? The most important choice. Is it stable awareness that's going to be emphasized in one's daily experience, or the racing thoughts, emotions, sensations, and other experiences? Yeah, that's just the way it is. And then once we gain familiarity with that and some confidence in it, then we can really start to chuckle at ourselves if we're lucky, because we see that we're not as driven by racing thoughts as we once were. Yeah, so, you know, the earlier the better. Children can learn to do this, even the most resistant children. Come around, they do. I've been in many situations with many different kinds of people, not all of them interested in resting as awareness. And I can tell you for sure that just the disposition of stable awareness in one person affects the whole group, whether they want to be affected or not. Because it's so natural to everyone that if anyone senses it in someone else, they unconsciously already know that, or subconsciously that's a reflection of who they are. And so it evokes that in them right away. Whether they want that to happen or not, it rubs off, so to speak. It's contagious. And so even if children, for example, are resistant, they don't want to hear anything parents have to say about stable awareness, it will rub off. It really will. It's totally contagious. It's viral. And it works everywhere. No one needs to change their life, stop their investment banking or other stressful jobs. It isn't the job that's stressful, it's the mind that's stressful. Always. That's the way it is. And so, by the power of stable awareness, one can have a stress-free environment wherever they are. That's just the way it is. And so, you know, you might want to change your situation. Of course, that would be fine too, but you don't have to. And really, if you are in a very stressful situation and you're able to hold yourself to account for resting as awareness, as it becomes more and more stable, you will attain great fruits from that. Tremendous fruits. But you have to be able to say, well, I can rest in this situation. I have the confidence that I can rest and I will rest, and I will use this situation as a teacher for that resting. I will show that resting, stable awareness, is more powerful than these circumstances. And, yeah, that's just the way it is. Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask?
On the way out here, I was listening to the doctrine's talk just from Wednesday, talking about karma and reincarnation, talking about different parts of the world where that is a firm belief and how it's affected, and it just reminded me of like all systems. I had a experienced this last weekend where there was this impromptu, someone did like a personality thing on me, and it was interesting, you know, it was confirming, you know, there were these things that I do well and these things that I don't do so well. And I woke up the next morning and there was the whole cosmology of Suda, and then the next moment it was just like up in a puff of smoke.
Nothing.
Inconsequential nothing.
Whatever we want to see, we will. Now, all of us in this room probably would have gone for that at one time, right? Or maybe you still do if you're holding on to some antidotes. It's amazing, you know, when you see that, when you can just sit there and allow someone to be the magician they are, and then you just see how it relates to you. Excuse me.
And did you have a question?
Well, it just you know, just likened the talk about reincarnation and karma and holding to those beliefs and points of view the same as holding on to, you know, parts and pieces of your personality or how you've defined yourself or whatever. And that really, none of it's really substantial in the least.
No.
It may be circumstantial points of view arising, but there it's nothing. It's just amazing to, like, just see through it clearly. And so freeing.
Mm-hmm. It's very freeing. It's so freeing to not be all locked up in ideas about oneself. Yesterday I was saying to Heather, well, you know, the body is just an incidental shaft of light. And so to get all wrapped up in anything else about it is really unnecessary. Why not enjoy the experience of seeing more and more about who you really are than racing after all the ideas about everything? Just trusting in your own experience of who you are rather than all the fictionalized accounts, highly fictionalized accounts. But either you've fabricated or someone else has. Because people have all kinds of ideas about who we are, and we have all kinds of ideas about ourselves, but we don't really need any of those to be powerful and masterful in life. It's a lot easier than idea making and opinion making.
I was lying in bed this morning wondering about nature having the unity of presence and absence at the same time, and thinking of the example of snowflakes and fingerprints, which are said to be myriad and non-identical at the same time. I was wondering how to participate in the fascination and wonder of nature without fixation. You know, to not sidestep the pleasure and the joy of it, of all of the differentiations of infinite snowflakes, but without becoming vicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only true pleasure there is in phenomena is in stable awareness. That's pure pleasure. So that is the answer to your question. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get any simpler. Because by growing confident and stable awareness, the true nature of phenomena is understood completely. And with that, there's the ability to relish everything, but not be fixated on it.